Easter weekend.
I'd like to call the Osage Nation Congress Congressional Affairs Committee meeting to order. The time is 10:01. First item on the agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Pratt. Congressman Big Horse.
Here.
Congressman Mason.
Present.
Congressman Potts. Congressman Tillman.
Here. We do have a quorum. I did hear from Congressman Potts. He is attending a leadership council jamboree Boy Scout thing or something down at the state capitol. He's been doing it for 10 years on this weekend every year, so he will not be here. But next item on the agenda is prayer. And I'd like to ask our budget analyst, Megan Sneed, if she would deliver this morning's prayer. Item on the agenda is approval of minutes. The minutes are from January the 18th. Congressman Mason.
Motion to accept the minutes as presented for January 18th.
There is a motion on the floor. Do I have a second? Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. One abstention from Congressman Big Horse. The next item on the agenda is payables. Do we have any payables? Were those all done yesterday?
They're all done.
According to the clerk of Congress, I stopped by yesterday and signed a bunch of payables that were under the necessary limit to pay them here, so we will move forward. Next item on the agenda is travel. I believe there are, two.
Congressman Potts has not been able to sign his, so there's
okay.
Sure that
the so there's just one travel, and that is for myself being able to attend the Carlsbad, California, Southern California meeting on, I believe it's May 6th. So the amount, total authorization is at $2,100, and that's for flights, depending. It won't be that much, so there'll be some coming back. But that's the authorization that you're looking for. Chair would entertain. Congressman Mason.
Motion to accept the request for travel for Mr. Tillman to attend Southern California meeting. Cost is $2,100.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. is approved. Next item on the agenda. We have legislative chambers, and we have Mr. Silas Saperhoodle with us today. Mr. Saperhoodle, if you'd like to come up to the table and join us, please. In the last meeting, there was a motion made by Congressman Potts, and the motion was to direct the second speaker to begin the pre-planning and pre-construction activities necessary, including the submission of a scope of work to the Osage Nation Procurement Office for the purpose of relocating only the legislative branch of government. The motion was seconded and passed with 4 yeas and 0 nays. I have been in contact with Mr. Saperhoodle going through the request of the motion. And Mr. Saperhoodle joins us now, and we'd like to just kind of go over the information that I gave you and what we talked about and kind of where we are in the process. So thank you, Mr. Saperhoodle, for joining us. So I will give the floor to you, sir.
All right. Typically, we send out a RFP for whatever space that you're wanting, and we leave it up to the professional to design that space for whatever uses you guys have intended. So that's what the design part of the program would be. He would have some questions of how you're going to use the space and detail how much you would need and your parking and everything else that goes with it. So he's the technical part. You just get the general idea of what you need.
Okay. So in your opinion, your expertise, the next step for us as the congressional body here, the Congressional Affairs Committee, what is our next step with your office to move forward?
Finalize your data that you have in front of you and send it to Tammy, and she can send out an RFP.
Congressman Mason.
I don't want us to really have a train wreck in finding a space. I know we have space, but I want to overshoot. I know that there's master plans and secondary plans and all of this for putting this facility in that space and this facility in that space. And here we are, we're coming up and we want our facility in a space. And I was just wondering, we haven't really determined what space we want yet or how much we're going to have. And I don't know if you know that or anything's been presented to you as we need this size building and this size parking and this kind of entrance exit. Have we done that? That's two questions. One is to you. Have we not done that, or have we determined where we want to be?
Mr. Saperhoodle and I had a discussion, and we discussed in the last CA meeting of there were two different sizes thrown around. One was a 10,000 square foot building. The other one is if we were going to have the option of moving the office of OFPR in with us as well. And that, as Mr. Saperhoodle and I talked about, could expand the building up to a 12,000 square feet facility. And that is the initial discussion that we had with Mr. Saperhoodle's office, just talking about the square footage and if the office of OFPR, which is also on the agenda in discussion, if housing those folks with us in that same facility.
Thank you to you both.
Yeah. I did have a question, Mr. Saperhoodle. You talked about taking the data that we had and getting it to what data are you referring to?
The amount of members you have and the staff, and if you know what PR in there and their staff, how many members there are, how many bodies there are that you're going to work with. And I wouldn't want to limit the space to 10,000 or 12,000 until a professional looks at it and sees what usage you're going to need, because hallways have to be accommodated for handicap and whatnot. And when you have a quorum of people, has to expand to a certain amount of footage. So square footage is going to be a determining factor from a professional. That's my point of view. We usually do that for them. And then from there, we can go down. If it's too much and we need to cut down, then we can cut down, but you'll have the advantage. advantage on us for that.
We would be, I'm sorry.
No, Congressman Mason, please.
I keep thinking of a gallery. We got to have a gallery. We're having congressional meetings, et cetera. I don't know, up there on the hill. We were limited to, I don't know how many we could get up there in the chairs and things. It gets crowded.
Right.
You know, the bigger our government gets, the more meeting that we'll have, and we want gallery to come.
Right.
You know? So I don't know about that number, but I guess you need to know that too. Or
part of his, part of what that professional will do is take into account and survey of what you've seen and how much space you're going to need, and he can work that into his calculations.
Mr. Sapahulu, could you send me what you need from your end on your office, just what you said earlier, just in an email to me, and I will send it out to the rest of the CA committee, the rest of Congress.
Yes, sir.
And with those items that you had listed. One other thing I wanted to talk about briefly was there was some communication as far as the campus master plan. And I believe they started work on, and the email that I received, it was either from, I think it was either you, Tammy Leeper, or maybe Mr. Johnson, executive office. They were talking about if it was going to be into the standards, I believe was the term they used, of the campus master plan. So I went back and I gave, in our packets, we have a little bit of data here with the percentage master plan completed as of February 15th, 2019. And I believe the campus master plan started what year was that?
The planning phase was, I believe, 09, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the actual first, I guess, motion movement, construction development began, was it 2010, 2011?
Hadn't been 2015.
Okay. Okay, so this campus master plan has been around since 09, the developing phases of 2009, and just back to my comments from, it was either you or Ms. Leeper or Mr. Johnson, the thread of emails, so I can go back and look at it, but it pointed to, are we in the campus master plan approval design, whatever that wordage was. And so I pulled off this information in trying to make the point that this master plan has been around now for 10 years. And if you see the items that I have included in your packet from office space, new buildings, buildings to remove, et cetera, there is a completion percentage to the far right for 10 years and office space square feet. I think the initial complete master plan was supposed to have 250,000 square feet, and we've only completed at this time 46,572 square feet, which is that 19%? That's 19%. Where did this come from? Is that 1.9 or 19? 19%. So in 10 years, my point is, 10 years we've only gotten 19% of that done. If you'll move to the next item, new buildings. The total 10 years ago was to have 20 new buildings. And in 10 years period of time, we've completed 3, which gives us 15%. So my point is, and if you want to look at another one, site improvements, we go down to plants and PHYL. What is that? PHYL. Plants, as in?
Landscaping.
Site landscaping. Completed 45% of that. It says furnishings. We've only completed 10% of that. Art, 5%. Paving, 30%. Lighting, 20%. So on and so forth. So the master plan to me has been, if we stay on this pace, it's gonna take us, if this took 10 years to get to this point, it's gonna be 50 years before we get this completed, in my estimation. And just throwing that out there. So are we with this new legislative chamber within, and the campus master plan is not a law. It's not a law. So if we fall out of compliance with the master plan, to me it doesn't seem like that's would be something that would keep us from building a legislative chambers up on the hill. Picking a spot, designing, developing, building according to what I'm seeing here, are we staying within the designs of the campus master plan? It seems now to me that campus design master plan is a little bit insignificant for our purposes of building the building. And I'll let the committee respond if they would like to. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, I think that the campus master plan was, I mean, it was a vision of, we knew that the government was going to grow rather quickly. We more than tripled our employment, and we didn't really have a place for people to go. We had kind of makeshift offices and trailers and very old buildings. We were renting a lot from people that owned here in town. But it comes down to money. I mean, and ultimately, the 12 members here determine what's going to be appropriated out. Is it going to be some more buildings or other things that, you know, the 12 or the majority rather see as more pressing other than a building? So, I mean, ultimately, 12 people here, whoever sits in these seats, are going to be the ones who determine if we're going to get a legislative building or not. We've been down here for a while. It worked. I mean, I'm happy that we were able to come down here. I don't think that it's, I think the sound quality is bad. I don't think that, I mean, we could put a fortune into the sound and it might or might not, because we're surrounded by marble. And, you know, we have had complaints on parking. We don't see as many people in our gallery because there's no place for them to park. We made some improvements in the building in terms of restrooms, but it's not really accessible for elders to get from this front to the back. I think that once we determine if we're going to go back up on the hill, we should definitely look at, you know, our overall history of how many staff members that we've had. Right now we have the legal, budget analyst, clerk, assistant clerk. We've went between having an admin and not having an admin. OFPR, the pros and cons of just from me being here since 2010, because there are pros and cons to having them with us. They are a part of the legislative branch of government. Some people think OFPR needs to be in another building. One of the cons of having them in a different building, from my perspective, is for a while, we didn't know if they were in the office or if they weren't. We were totally in the dark as to what was going on with OFPR. I mean, and for what it's worth, they knew what was going on and things were going on. I mean, they were doing work, but one of our members, because they only stay in touch really with the second speaker. So one of our members or two of our members would go down to seek information, and, you know, one person might be out on vacation, another person may be out on site, and another person is somewhere else, so the office was closed. And then it was just confusion all the time. And then we just needed, I mean, the number of offices has to be determined. We have to determine if the 12 of us are going to have separate offices, if we're going to share offices, if we're going to have cubicles. So I think that we need a new space so that the nation can utilize this building for whatever it is that they're wanting to do. I don't know if they had a study done. We've spent money on a study to be done for this building. I'm ready to move. I mean, I'm ready for us to make a decision and hop to it, I think.
Thank you, Congresswoman Goodfox. And I concur with many of the statements that that you made. And, you know, we have, if we can get the information back to Mr. Sapahul and his folks up there and then start the designing process. And we have talked about separate offices, which I would be a fan of every Congress member having their own separate office just for privacy's sake. I know I shared an office up on the Hill early on, and there were times when I'm on the phone, someone else is on the phone, you have someone in there sitting there with you. It was still, and they were open-air cubicles, and there was no privacy, and there's definitely no privacy here at this facility. So I agree with you that I'm ready to make some moves. And one other person that we had, we left out was Trey Gill. I'll have to have an office. You covered everybody but Mr. Gill. So thank you for those comments, Congresswoman Pratt.
Okay. I, too, agree with you all that something needs to move on. And so here we are again, another meeting talking about the same thing. So my question is, you're asking Silas's office what they need, but there's been a motion. Like, we keep making the same motions over and over. And so this last motion gave the second speaker authorization to move forward even with the scope of work. So instead of asking people outside of this office, I'm asking you as the second speaker, what do you need from the Congress in order to make a decision to move forward with this stuff, because you have the authorization to do that. But if you're wanting input from the Congress members, then you need to communicate with us and ask us. And I think it was the intent in that motion that was made when we decided, yes, we're gonna have an OFPR office. Yes, we're moving along. That's the discussion that we had last meeting. We're moving along. They are part of the legislative branch. So yes, we would include them in talking about having an office. Who are we having an office for? That would include them because they are part of the legislative branch, and that was also in the motion. We never discussed really having them separately because we're trying to move on as is. There was a space issue up there, which is why they were separate. So again, unless the law is going to change, and that's also drug this out for 4 or 5 months, is okay. Are we really moving forward with them? Are we not? Are we changing the law? Are we going to change the law and then move to hire them? Are we going to hire them, then change the law? So my only thing is, if the law changed and separated them from us somehow, which I don't know that that's happening or possible, then that's the only thing that would affect. Otherwise, my answer would be yes, from one member saying yes, that the legislative branch, which was included in this motion to give you authorization to move forward with his office, includes OFPR. So I think that, in my opinion, that you need to start communicating with the Congress, whether it be email, poll. So the speaker and the second speaker often take polls on, you know, what's going on. And if we, I don't think we need an actual motion, but in case we did, then you're ready to go when we all come back together for the session. But this is really, really getting drug out, and it's like, even as far as having the conversation about the campus master plan, we already had that conversation too. We sat there, we pulled out those big pages. Remember that, Silas? We came down, had that pulled out. We flipped all through there. We've already not followed the campus master plan as it was originally written. So okay, let's push that aside because we agree. We don't have the money to do all of it, so we're basically filling in at this point. And so that was also part of moving forward with your office to have a discussion. Well, where can we go? What's available? What's big enough for us? And that was the discussion that was going to take place, or we thought from this committee was going to take place between the second speaker and you, because we're already not following the campus master plan. So I guess now, what do you need from this committee? And if this committee isn't sure, if we don't feel comfortable speaking for all 12 of us, then we need to start reaching out to all 12 of us so that you can go have the information that you need to go get with his office because you've already been authorization to move forward and to make those decisions.
Okay, thank you. And in line with the motion to direct myself to begin the pre-planning and pre-construction, the activities necessary, I did do that. I did go up to and had contact with Tammy's Lieber's office. I have a thread of emails I can forward to you if you would like from the last meeting from Congressman Potts' motion. So I would disagree with you there that the pre-planning, pre-construction activities necessary for the scope of work to the Osage Nation Procurement Office has began. And so I think this is still the, as it says here, the beginning activities necessary to start. And so going through that office, they directed me what I needed to do next. And we got with Mr. Sapahoodle's office, and he and I had two different conversations on the phone talking about the scope of work and what it was going to be and what he needs from us. So I would think that, and also Congressman Potts, in my discussions with him and letting him know, this, according to your motion, is what we've done and where we are, and it's kind of an update today. So, yeah, I have been following along with the motion from Congressman Potts.
So have you submitted the scope of work? Because you're asking him, what does he need from you for a scope of work? Because it says, including the submission to the Osage Nation Procurement Office.
Yeah.
That's not him. That would be Tammy.
She directed me to get in touch with Mr. Sapahoodle and work through those. I have the thread of emails I can forward to you, but we are beginning. It's not nothing quick that's going to happen overnight, but we have begun the process of, I've never built a building before, okay? So going through the steps necessary, that is what I'm learning and understanding as we go forward, trying to move and build a legislative chambers. Anyone else from the committee? Mr. Sager.
Part of this we're looking at is easily avoided because we have a set of plans and a set of drawings and specifications for a building, and it's a space. And you can rearrange however you want inside that space. If it's too big, you can create open space with it. It's flexible to do that. If you just need a small space, the rest of it can be whatever. But at some point in time, you may want to move again, so someone else is going to have to use that space, whether you build a new one or it's one of the master plan buildings. So it's got to be flexible. If not, you're going to waste money having to redesign it again for someone else to move in. So as it is, it's a flexible space. But if you go out and you acquire someone to design another building, that's kind of some time you could avoid by taking these drawings and saying, we need this, just rearrange the inside, stairs different, whatever you want. But if you go and you get the new design, you're out that much time and that much money. Just saying, you can avoid part of that if you want it, not anyway.
Okay. So when you get, or we get you the information that you're going to request, and then we put the, what's the next step? It's the
RFP.
RFP.
Yes.
So, okay.
And the professional come in and say, all right, here's how you need it.
And that's a meeting we could have with that person once we get you that information. He could come to this meeting and talk about however he wants to put it up here or show the design.
After procurement, yes.
Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. Anyone else? Committee. Congressman Mason.
If that professional is in essence secured, then we're locked in with that particular professional and his design for us. And what if we disagree with his idea of our design? Can we
have him alter it? You can terminate it if you want, or you can alter it, or you can provide your own determinations of what you want him to do. He can do that.
Okay. Is it, thank you, Congressman Mason, but is it in your experience, Mr. Sapahoodle, that following Congressman Mason's question, during that design scope, whoever we select or whoever we choose to do that part, they typically have that capability to listen, take input, and modify to our specific wants and needs, correct?
That's a programming phase.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I have one question for. So what you were saying is kind of like determine the amount of space that we need and then kind of try to almost keep it at the beginning stages of a shell of a building, sort of, in a way. And I'm just kind of clarifying that because by the time we get this, put this out, bring it back for a bid, whatever, all in this very first phase, we could have a totally different committee and they may not even agree with us, which, and we're not communicating with all of us right now. So that's just likely. So that's what I'm saying is at least we've gotten that far to determine like the amount of space that we would need. Right. Okay.
We've developed those buildings there, as a matter of fact, with movable walls. So if anybody has a different space allocation, we can move those walls.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Anyone else have any questions for Congressman Mason?
Not so much a question, as just I'm thinking this committee, Congresswoman Pratt, piggyback on what she said, you know, this is, we're making these decisions on our watch for not only this Congress, but the next Congresses in the future. And indeed, the Congress is going to be around. It's a permanent thing. We're going to be here as long as the nation is. I'm thinking that, you know, as we meet here on 1 hour or every 2 weeks or so, I'm thinking we need as a, just a suggestion to consider as a committee along with Silas and the others that have these things written down, some actual one-day retreat or something like that so we can sit in and focus a good 8-hour day on developing this so that at the end of the day we've got this done. At the end of the second day we have this done, got 16 hours into this instead of meeting 16 times for 1 hour. We do it in a couple of days. You know, just, I'm just thinking that's how you know, churches or somebody, they have their little committees, but they have to sit and work, sit down and actually hammer it out, get it done. So at the end of the day, you've got this done, this done, and this done. And at the end of the week, boom, it goes up there, it's a done deal. But for us, you know, again, we have to get our 12 members to agree to that. We can do that. They put us in this position as a member of this committee to make those kind of decisions in their behalf. I kept thinking, and I always say this, that when you sit on a particular committee, you're there and we as a Congress have to have confidence in your position in that committee, and that committee is making these decisions. You want to be a part of it. You need to join that committee and be a part of it. Otherwise, here we are. This is our watch, and just a thought that we might need to consider spending a little bit more time on this ourselves and saying, okay, let's roll up the sleeves and put it on the table and make sure they have their end of the table, we got ours, so at the end of the day, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Mason. And it is interesting that this Congress changes every 2 years. Every 2 years. So the committee and the chair and the second speaker, all of that, can change every 2 years. So having said that, if we're going to build a building and a committee wants to do it, they better do it in a 2-year frame of mind, because I guess it could change, you know, unfortunately. So that's what you do. And then you have administrative changes up on the Hill that change every 4 years. That changes the look of the master plan, or it changes the look of the strategic plan, or it changes direction altogether. So that's just government and how it works, how it functions. Do you have your hand up?
I did, and all I was going to say was, I mean, I agree that we all should all be communicating that, but I'm just saying, as far as this committee, you know, like you said, meet 16 times for 1 hour, like, especially if we're talking about the exact same thing, we need to remember what we talked about the last meeting to move on to the next meeting, and that so we can try to make some progress. I'm just saying, as far as it is up to us, this committee right here, right now, but this committee, by the time we get the first bid back, or even really get through the scope of work process, we could like come, I mean, we're like a month and a half away from, well, yeah, a month and a half away from possibly changing this entire committee. So, And then they would have all new power by the time that comes back. And when they come back and look at this piece of paper, and they're like, what? No. And then they totally turn around and be like, uh-uh, they had it all wrong. So that's what I'm saying is that we're not even far enough into it for them to say, okay, we can't turn back now, because they can turn back at that point because nothing essentially has been done. So I'm just saying we're basically 6 weeks away from possibly having a brand new committee.
Just a question for the committee. Congressman Mason's idea of a retreat or just getting together for 8 hours to work on nothing but this, I think is a great idea. And I think the sooner the better, because we've got session rolling around the corner, and I'd really like to get this off the ground and going before session even starts. So it's just a suggestion to the committee members.
Thank you, Congressman Beagles. Anything else from the committee for Mr. Sapahoodle? Get that stuff to me and we'll get it back to you. It shouldn't take too much. I don't think your list is going to be too much. But thank you for coming down and taking time to be with us.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
Be careful.
Yeah. Not much room in between these.
Yeah, we need a bigger room.
Okay, next item on the agenda, OFPR discussion. And looking at the motion again from Congressman Potts, where we did change the job description, and then initiate the process of hiring the chief audit officer of the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review and advertise the position according to Department of Human Resource Policy and Procedure. They had the motion from Congressman Potts. It was seconded and passed 4-0 nays. And I think the update that we have, the job posting it's been posted through Anna Truman. And we've had two applicants that we've received, and I believe the closing date is still somewhere in the near future, is what we have. And there's some information on your packet of what we have. But it has been, it's out there, the job description approved by us, it's out. So we've had a couple of applicants inquire about the position. And so we're waiting for our guests for that to close, and then we will pull the individuals in and do interviews accordingly. So, committee, anyone have any questions or comments here? Congressman Mason.
So when is the closing date on applications coming? Is there one of these?
It's typically how many days? 90 days? Do they do it 90 days? 60 days? We think? We don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how long they post the job positions.
So it's open.
It's still open. It's still open, and it's been out for. Do we know when did she officially posted it?
It's been out for about a week and a half, I believe.
Okay, so that's not bad. I guess you get a couple of applicants with the descriptions and what we have to offer here. So we'll wait and see till the end of the. Till it closes and gather the information, and who knows, we could have a new committee here, and they may change the job description as well, the way things go. But anyway, it has been posted, and we've had two inquiries, and we'll see as they continue to come in. So anyone else with any questions here? Congressman Mason.
Thank you. I'd like to pose a question to Congresswoman Goodfox and her positions and past experiences in PR. You know, here again, thinking of our office up here on the Hill that posts these up for us, are you aware that where these go out? And I'm thinking of Indian Country. Does it flow out to Indian Country? Because there's a lot of Do we know if we do that or not?
I know. I believe that if you have, I mean, it goes online, and then you have to request, second speaker would have to request for it to go to other other entities. Like, if we wanted to post in the Tulsa World, second speaker would need to make that request. If you want to post in a native paper, and they're classified, so you would need to make that request as well.
I'm thinking in
it doesn't. This, yeah, it doesn't automatically, but we can request that it.
And where I'm going with this is that this committee, you know, if we were to utilize, we have a need for this, mm-hmm. and this is the Congress does, and this committee does, and if we were to utilize the social media outfit, because there's a lot of Indian young people that have credentials that are out there in social media, that's just there. I'm not experienced with that, but I know it's there, and I'm just thinking, how are we out of line if we were to throw it out from this office?
Well, I think that it would be better for if it came from the all it takes is second speaker asking the HR department to do that. Well, I mean, obviously, this is our grant. We could do that. But I think that if there's one house for job advertisement, it just works better.
Okay.
And that's the house that we go to for help with job descriptions and streamlining.
Yes. Thank you.
And right now, is it just posted on the website? Is that it? I don't know if it goes into the Osage News. Mr. Palaka, does that job posting also go into the Osage News?
They usually do, yes.
Okay. Do you know if this particular job description has been posted yet, either on the website or the hard copy?
If it was posted on the human resources job listings page, it may have been, because usually they're all typed
and
yes.
Does the HR department contact you, the Osage News, to make sure that you all have that information? Or how does that process work?
That would be a conversation between the editor and HR.
Okay.
Otherwise, the editor would automatically ask that the job descriptions or the job postings be posted.
Okay. It is on, as the clerk, Shannon Walker, has told us, it is on the Indeed.com web page. So where is that? Is that just HR has an Indeed.com network page?
They place it on their jobs that are currently advertised with Indeed.
Okay. And Congresswoman Goodfox, I have a question for you. If they do have, if we did want to go in the Tulsa World and other publication, there's an expense involved. Who absorbs that? Us, or we do here? Okay, thank you. And I thought it was interesting too, listening to Dr. Shaw the other day and talking about posting his job descriptions for doctors. And it's hard to get people with these qualifications to want to come to Pawhuska and live because of housing. So there's going to be a commute involved, and the qualifications that we have here, we may experience some of those same circumstances where individuals are looking, well, yeah, I'd like to apply for this job. I'll call and see what kind of it pays, but are we going to get anybody local, or is this going to be someone that's going to have to drive back and forth from Bartlesville, back and forth from Tulsa, back and forth from wherever it may be? And that was kind of a hindrance to Dr. Shaw and his conversations the other day. But, you know, we don't know, but hopefully by the end of its run, the job description will have, you know, hopefully we'll have 5 or 6, maybe 7, maybe 10 applications that we can pull and look and start the interview process. Congresswoman Pratt.
Congressman Mason, to halfway answer a piece of your question. I know, I was trying to find it just now because I don't know exactly. I couldn't tell you where it is right now, but I do know when you asked about social media that I get notifications when Osage Nation has posted a job through social media. So I don't know the details on where that is, who does that, but I'm thinking if you liked the Osage Nation page, like you've become a member of their group, then maybe that's probably where it filters through when they, but I do get it on social media, get a notification that Osage Nation has posted a job.
Any other questions, comments about the chief audit officer? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Congressman.
Were there any specific changes besides the change that we voted on in committee when you moved forward with HR to... HR, did anything, were there any changes at all? Because I think we just kind of were worried, like, when anything that we did might affect some sort of skill or whatever. So that's good.
Anything else, committee? Okay, seeing nothing. We will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the congressional portrait. And so we voted to redo the picture, and I guess what we have to do now is, as a committee, decide on when do we want to retake this. I think the first attempt that we had was a little chaotic. It was raining, it was storming, it was done in the morning up on the hill, and we had session that morning, and I think the expense to us with the photographer was only like $75. Canceling, but we did get some pictures and nobody really liked them, and but I don't know when to take the picture. That's not my cup of tea, so if anybody wants to make a recommendation and when they want to take the picture, let me know and I'll be there. Congresswoman Goodfox.
I would send an email. This is just a suggestion. The first day of session, I wouldn't do it the first day of session, but what I would do is pick three dates as second speaker, and pick three dates like during that first week and a half of session, like not on the first day, but like third day, fourth day, sixth day, three dates, three times, and then just poll the Congress via email, and the majority who respond then go with that date. And if not everyone responds. I mean, that's on them. But I would give the Congress members the opportunity to pick the day and time that works best for them. And I would also do, we've done them in the morning before. They don't always, it does not always work out. But depending on what the board looks like for the calendar for committee meetings, an afternoon may not work either.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do them in the morning, I would say, like, no earlier than 9 o'clock, just because when we've scheduled them earlier than that, there's always someone running late, or we have someone driving from far away, and it just hasn't worked. So I would say, like, a 9 a.m. is probably a good time. And then you might just reach out to the photographer, because he's done our congressional portrait several times. He can look back at the previous photo that he did that we didn't care for and try to come up with a placement. Because this one that we did, we all just kind of ran in and we look out of place. But that wasn't his fault. That was our fault, in my opinion. But we do look out of place. I mean, one of us is standing on, I think it's Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon's standing on a box that's like, you know, 3 feet tall. So she,
it does look.
Anyways, but that was our fault, and he might be able, and then it won't take as long. Because once he gets in there and we're placed, that process only takes like 10, 15 minutes.
Thank you for those comments. And I just want to, off of that, say maybe instead of polling through an email, could we do it through motions and notices at the ending of the first, beginning of the first day?
Yeah.
Just talk about it then. Mm-hmm. Say, let's who wants to do it this day, or this day? Mm-hmm. I always thought doing it the first day of session because everybody dressed up, you know, everybody wears a tie, and, mm-hmm. typically. But I don't care when they do it. I'm for any day, any time, I'm easy. So, but I think during motions and notices, we could get an answer pretty quick. And that way, everybody's there, and you can look at everyone, and they can agree. Hopefully we can agree.
Oh, but you better run your days and by the photographer first.
Yes.
So make sure, pick 3 days that works for the photographer, and then give those options of days to the members.
But you think within a week and a half of the first session?
Yeah, I think so, just at this point, because we have a congressional portrait sitting out there with people that are no longer here.
I'll ask the clerk if she can communicate with the photographer and see if he can, based on our discussion, if you could contact him. Thank you. Anyone else? Comments on the portrait? Congressman Mason.
I'm just thinking we probably have 24 days to select a date in there. We're all going to be here every day during the session, so just bring your red and blues and your shawls on any day. I'll follow your lead on that. Like you.
Yeah, thanks.
You post it up, I'll be there.
All right, anyone else? Discussion on the congressional portrait. All right, seeing none, we will move on. Next item on the agenda is the discussion of Women's History Month. And I believe Congresswoman Good Fox has some information for us. So Congresswoman Good Fox, I'll turn the floor over to you, ma'am.
Well, not really info, but this committee is usually the committee that takes care of that. So just over the last couple of years that we've been doing this, I've been on the CA committee. I'm not this year, but if you all are going to do anything, it's now's the time to get started on it. There should be a little, Megan might check, we should have a line item for it. And whoever wants to sponsor the legislation, y'all need to determine who you're going to honor. You might hear a little bit of, you know, like, how come you're not going to honor so-and-so? But the whole point was to do Women's History Month every single year, not to honor everyone in 1 year and then not do it years forward. So we've taken care of, Trey sent me a list, actually, the other day, but some possible options for this committee is the judicial branch, mm-hmm. and all the women who have served in judicial capacity, the Attorney General's office is an option, and you have a couple of options, but anyways, we have kept it pretty simple. We have a member that does the citations. We've gotten flowers for each person that we've honored, a cake, punch, and light refreshments. There's not that much to it, but if the committee is gonna do that this year, then probably need to be making a plan.
Okay. That's first day. Did we do that first
well,
day?
Well, Women's History Month is during the month of March, so we
have to be that week.
We have to do it that week. Okay. Doesn't necessarily have to be the first day, but sometime the first week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we did it before session. Was that? I think I'm trying to remember.
No, we had session, and then we do it at the end. The committee doesn't just have to work with themselves. I mean, executive is always very helpful. So you just need to reach out to the director of operations and remind them, you know, it's Women's History Month. This is what we're going to do. And Jane has always helped out. So while we're here and our staff is running around doing our thing, and the staff has also helped out, while we're down here doing everything, executive has always been very helpful in setting up and making sure that, you know, our, and I think last year and the year before, they bought the paper goods. I don't think we had to buy everything. I think they did. Bought the paper goods, or they had some left over. I can't remember how it worked, but we have money for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congressman Mason, just thank you.
Picking up again, this idea, and it's not a motion by any means, but you know, all of our committees, we have in our rules possibility of creating a subcommittee within a committee, and create a subcommittee around this particular adventure. Could be a committee of one, a committee of two, and it seemed like we have an expert in here that's been very involved in this in the past. That, you know, that's one way to do it. Otherwise, we can, I think, make a motion to authorize a particular individual on our Congress to have authority to represent us and go make this happen too. Because okay. I don't know all of the things that have just been mentioned, but
right.
They're all very valid and very important.
Thank you, Congressman. And I was approached a couple of weeks ago by Congressman Potts, who had asked me and reminded me that we honor women during the month. And he had talked about the Attorney General's Office and the judicial branch of honoring those individuals that have served and are serving in that. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to, you put it on the agenda, but he was going to do it as well. You beat him to the punch. But he did ask if that would be acceptable. And I said, that sounds wonderful to me, the AG's office and the...
I would do one or the other.
Not both.
That's just my, I would do one, so that next year...
You can do the other.
We can do the, yeah. Because honestly, if you, right now we have more women serving that have been elected to these seats, six, than ever before. But historically, we have not had very many women in these seats or judicial. And so we are running, honestly, we are almost running out of people. Mm-hmm. Because, so that's why I took just a few. The first year, I think we did the first Congress. We took care of the first Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year we did Old Tribal Council, and we've taken care of the National Council. And so judicial or AG's office, and then the next year, I mean, we want to try to continue
yes.
with honoring.
I agree. Good point. So does anybody want to make a motion to either the Attorney General's office or the judicial branch and move forward with that ceremony that we'll have? If not, I'm sure we can move forward. It may not even take a motion.
It doesn't matter to me. I mean, if we're going to do them both, flip a coin and go with one of them.
Sure. Okay. Congressman,
or in selecting a particular component, does that exclude any of our, we'll say, just who may have received a national award in the past? Because we have a lady over at Fairfax got National Indian Education Educator of the Year, 2000. Mm. That's a thought. Just a question.
Yeah.
Well, I agree, which is why I don't agree with like making a motion, whether it be one or the other. I think we can try to, because what if somebody just wants to, I mean, we have, there are a lot of women, and that doesn't mean it has to be in the government. It's like we have a lot of women who just made a difference, and I agree, because I was going to do a accommodation for that individual as well as another one who's like retired. So I just think that kind of closes the door on some other, you know, it doesn't have to just be women in within our government.
And or.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I just think that just kind of leaves it open, and somebody wants to get the work done and have that discussion, and we can move forward with that.
Well, thank you. And again, the only one that I've heard from besides Congressman Potts and Congressman Goodfox, and Congressman Potts specifically said the Attorney General and the Judicial, and it's fine with me, but it doesn't really matter to me if you want to go outside those bounds. I don't have any problem with any of that at all. So, any other discussion? I'd like to thank Congresswoman Goodfox for putting this on the agenda for discussion, and we'll move forward with it as we go. Next item on the agenda is executive session. Chair would entertain a motion for brief recess.
Are we so moved? Second.
Recess. I'll get all the